Boker Tov, today's daf, Mesechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim HaKadosh, is Daf Zayin, and we're up to Omar Rabbi Abba. So we just finished yesterday the issues of Pilagish Begiva, from where we learned how careful you have to be not to be overly tight and tough with your household. And so we have more inyonim in this general approach. When we say B'toch Beito, it doesn't only mean family, it means the people that are working for you. Someone, see this, Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, was so tough on the people that were working for him that they, turns out, almost gave him a big davar asur to eat because they were too scared to tell him the truth. Umanu Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. So, what do you mean? What, you really believe that the kitchen staff of Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel fed him something that was not kosher? Hashtabem tan shal tzadikim min HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevi tekala yadam. Tzadikim atzmam lo kosher came. You know the whole story of Rabbi Pinchas ben Yoyer and his donkey, and his donkey wouldn't eat food that Meiser hadn't been taken from. So, I mean, this we're talking about not people that are Nevi'im in the Tanakh. We're talking about people in the Gemara. So how could Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel actually, chas v'chalila, that he ended up being fed at Dover Tameh? Ela, the correct thing to say is, bikshu v'achilu davar gadol. In the end, Baruch Hashem, a nes happened that he was saved, and he didn't eat it. They were going to, and he nearly was fed it. What was the story? The story was Avram and Achai, that one time they had prepared a luncheon, had cut they butchered the meat, and they ended up losing like one leg from the animal that they had butchered. Maybe somebody stole it anyway. The point is that they were scared to death to let him know that they hadn't washed the meat properly. So they went and cut off a leg from a live animal, and they were going to feed it to him. So it should look like that nothing was lost from the roast. Sholach le Marukva le Rabbi Elazar. So Marukva was the Resh Galusa, and he was a very important man for the entire Klal Yisrael. He stood between them and the government authorities, and he was very open and vulnerable to anything that would shake his authority and could therefore make him ineffective. So, unfortunately, there was a big machlokas between him and Geniva. We know that Geniva was a big Talmud Chacham, but didn't have the proper midas. We actually learn out from Geniva that Talmid Chachamim were considered to be malachim. It's unbelievable how it is that people on that level get involved in these types of horrible machlokesin. But anyway, Geniva used to make a lot of trouble for Marukva. Some say that he was meiser to the Malchus, things on him, but taxes, whatever, who knows? There's a lot of different, that's the Miri says it was actually meiser, the other Rishonim say that this was entirely in nothing to do Ad Kedei Kach. It's not a normal case, it was a case where there was simply fear that the Lashon Hara that Geniva was saying was enough to undermine Marukva. But anyway, as you can see, the unfortunate phenomena that, I mean, today, obviously, but the unfortunate phenomena in which you have Adam Gadol being attacked by somebody that people respect as a real rabbi, it's not a new thing. So he sent a letter to Rebbe Lezer, and he said, look, I have power right now with my government contacts. I could have him put away, you know. I could just tell them to take Geniva, and that's the end of Geniva. So, biyadi lemasram lemalchut. Mao, should I use the goyim to destroy Geniva or not? So, we were talking about before, when we were mentioning Rav Aviatar, that maybe he wasn't a Talmud Chacham, according to Yosef, because he hadn't actually made sirtut. So, he was sirtet v'katavle, so he wrote with Sirtut, Bedavka, he wrote out the pasuk. Amarti eshmera derachai mechato v'lashoni, eshmera lefi machsom, ba'od rasha lenegdi. So David HaMelech writes that I keep my derech, right derech, not to be chayte with my tongue, and to use a lotion to save myself. I never did that. I put like a muzzle on my mouth, a machsom, even with the Russia connected, and like I was in desperate straits, I still wouldn't, chas v'chalila, use my lotion to save myself. So, af apish rasha l'negdi, esh malafi machsom. So he told him he shouldn't do it. Anyway, later on, Marukva found that the situation was getting more and more desperate. So shalach le, he sent another message to Rabbi Elazar. Kometzara le'tuva, I'm really in a lot of trouble. I just can't take it anymore. I have to do something. Shalach le, so Rabbi Elazar sent a message. Dom la'Hashem v'itcholelo. You should be dom la'Hashem. You should actually be quiet. So it's a simple meaning. Darshaning it over here is a couple of different possible drushes. Dom la'Hashem is a lashon of dimdume chama. You should be mispalel to be saved all the time. With the Meshachris and Mincha, or others learn, Taisa suggests that if you should be doing Hashem by sitting in the Beis HaMedrash, Yom HaValayla, learning Torah, you don't worry about it. V'hu yapilem lecha chalalim chalalim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will turn these guys into piles of bodies. So this is Hashkem V'arev Alehem LeBeit Midrash, as Taisa said, V'hem kalim me'elehem. And the actual result was, the moment that Rebbe Elazar had said that, had written that, Hadavar yatzah mipi Rabbi Elazar, v'netanu legniva bekolar, for some other reason, nothing to do with Marukva, the police came, and they took, Marukva didn't have to get involved, they took Geniva, and they put him into handcuffs, and led him away to be shot. Fine. Unbelievable. But meanwhile, by the way, you see that Rebbe Elazar, actually, it was misartate. So now there's a number of issues that we raised yesterday, we didn't have a chance to look into them, which is this halacha of requiring sirtut, is this said even on an igeret shlomim, or is it only said where a person wants to be derech a pasuk, or he's sending only the pasuk, like the case over here? There's another question, whether if a person is writing in the type of ktav that we have, which is obviously not ketav ashurit, it's just like a loose dimui in which we make an olive the way we make an olive, but that's not really the ketav of Lashon HaKedesh. Is there even a chiyuv of sirtut? Because the whole Indian of sirtut is when you're writing with the exactitude of ketav ashuris. So there's big machlokas in about that. So, I mean, the Ramban writes that, you know, I am not makbid, because I don't believe that in our ketav there's a din. That's how I write all of these letters, and I do not use sirtut. But, I mean, others bring rayas from the Yerushalmi that even b'ketav shalanu. Then there's some who say that you don't have to worry about sirtut, where you're just simply quoting a part of a pasuk for the yofi of the lashon, and that it's not really I'm using the pasuk. It's just that as part of Lashon HaKedesh, the poetic use of Lashon HaKedesh always uses like a few words from Pasuk here and there. I mean, there's the way that you begin a letter and so on and so forth. But over there, it's not in order to use the Pasuk per se. It's just that the same language that was Kavu, it's like sort of you're writing Shakespeare with not as a quote, but Lahavdil, you're using the same type of structure that Shakespeare used. It happens to be directly from Shakespeare, because it's coming into the way that people use the language. And that's also mutter. And it's only where you literally mean to be quoting the pasuk as an answer to a shayla, and that like over here, where he's telling him, this is what the pasuk says, and therefore this is what you have to do. Anyway, there are many that are actually quite machmer on this. And it's also mashma from here again, that this has nothing to do with klaf. I think we spoke about this briefly yesterday. So it's nothing to do with klaf, because why, I mean, to assume that he was sending him an answer to a question with a piece of klaf, and he was misartet the klaf. Pashtus is that it's a din in the ksiva, even if you're writing on paper. you need to be misartet so that it should be correctly written. Okay, but in any event, this was the end of Geneva. Sholchu le Marukva, another Maisa, where also there was misartet, this time Marukva was the one who was misartet, Mzimra minolam da Osir. How do we know that the Isser is, as Rashi explains over here, it's Osir to have parties with music? And we spoke about this at great length when we were learning the Sugya and Seita. So Mar Ukva wrote Besirtut, Al Tismach Yisrael El Gil Ka'amim. So you, Klal Yisrael, you should not act the way that the Goyim act, and this is right after the whole story in the same Hosea, it's in the same Navi, over there, it says, Vayishkach Yisrael Asaseyel, Vayiven Echalot. So it says, Vishilachti Eish Be'arav, V'yachla Armanoteha. So in that context, we understand that since you're going to be sent into Golos, Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed, and therefore, Al Tismach Yisrael Ogil Ba'amim, when you have your parties, you can't be like the Goyim. But, I mean, there's a much more clear pasuk. Why didn't Mar Ukva write, Lishlach lo ne'acha, Bashir lo yishtu yayin, Yimar shecha l'shotav, that you shall no longer drink your wine parties, go into your pubs, and have your music? And actually, the shechar will be very bitter to those who drink it. Because if Mar Ukva learned from there, Hava minahani mili zimra demona, I would have thought that since it says, the Bashir, I wouldn't have known that we're talking about over here singing. I'm asking, you know, singing. And that would only prove that with music, it's also, I would say music means dafka if you have musical instruments. Because it says, as Rashi points out, shavat misos, and then it used misos tupim. It's talking about shon alizim, misos kinor. So the pasuk before talks about musical instruments. So then that would mean that the only issur would be with musical instruments. Kamash Balan, that in cases of partying or in sitting in a bar, even puma is usur, but I would have thought puma is shori. Kamash Balan, therefore, Mar Ukva quoted that pasuk. Omar le Ravuna Barnata and Ravashi, back to the sugya of people who don't respond in vicious ways to people who attack them viciously, and that you're supposed to just be quiet, don't respond. That's the Gemara that we had about Moshe Rabbeinu, about Tola Eretz Al Balima, Ina Kadosh Baruch Hu, Tola, the whole Bria, Al Balima, Al Misha, Bolema Atzmo B'Sha'at Meriva. Somebody who's in an argument, the people are treating him terribly and saying things about him, he shouldn't respond. Balima. So in another pasuk, Omer l'Ravuna bar Nosson l'Ravashi, my dichtiv, what does it mean in Yoshua when it writes, now these are all cities, by the way, Kina, Dimona, Adada, I mean, these are cities, that some of them are cities, Bizban Hazeh. So what is the meaning of those words? Ravashi looks at him and says, those are the names of towns, you know, Matvata Deretz Yisrael Kachashim. He's just giving you over the names of the towns along the Gulas of Eretz Yisrael, or the towns that they needed to capture in Eretz Yisrael. So Ravuna bar Nosson says, what do you think I am, an idiot? To analo yadana, dimatvata Eretz Yisrael kochash, we think I never learned Yoshua. I understand that they are towns in Eretz Yisrael. Elo Rav Gavia Margiz Omar Bataimo. I'm trying to tell you that there's a remez in these towns to something meaningful. Just because they're towns doesn't mean that they don't have meaning in them. Remember the whole Rabbeinu Bachya that we had about the Diyukim on some of the towns in the Torah. Anyway, so I can tell you Rav Gavia Margiz, he explains the meaning of these towns. And he says, Kina, what are these words? Kina, Dimona, Adada, means Kina. If you are in a fight with someone, you're furious. Kol sheyeshlo Kina al chavero. And you stay in Dimona, meaning that you're domain, and you don't respond, and you don't do anything, then you should know the schus will be Ad Ada. And that is the Shochena de Ad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He'll be the one who will take care of it for you. Oselodin. So it's similar to this mice that we had with Mar Ukva. So Rav Ashi says, I understand. So what? You're going to go now and tell me that all of these towns, you're going to tell me the drosha? Okay. So tell me, and what is Siklag? And what is Madmana? And what is Sansana? You got words for that? What? It's a sensational town, Sansana. What are you going to tell me? Achinami? Omar Lezer, Rav Huna Bar Nosson says, I can tell you one thing. If Rav Gavia Mibe Argiza was here, he would have told you what those means too. I'm not so smart to tell you. Very, very, very sweet. The problem is, it's a bit crazy. Because, I mean, why are we picking Dafka these towns, and why should we think that they were set to Drosha? So, I mean, there's beautiful Pirushim on here. Because, actually, there are six towns that don't make any sense. Because Lomaisa, in the Pasuk, it says that there are 29 Arim, right? The Pasuk and Kolelo are 29 in total. And that's not true, because when you count, there's actually 35. So this means that six of these towns are not towns. They're drushas, right? Because there's only 29. So now the question, okay, but why are we picking these? So there's a gra, there's a beautiful gra. The gra points out that in Divrei HaYomim, when it says over the names of these cities, the ones that are given names that are different from Yehoshua are these six towns, which means that since the whole Divrei HaYomim is all about how to be Derech, the meaning of the Shema is, so it's telling you that these six specific, that's why he asked them. So what are you going to do with the other drusha? You don't, I'm sure that he would certainly, Rav Gavia, he would have known what the drusha is. Rav Acha Bar Chazoi, Omar Bahachi. So he said that I can explain it. I mean, I don't know if it's as good as Rav Gavia Mipe Argiza, you know, but I can give you an explanation of Tziklag, Madmana, and Sansana. I would say like this. Tziklag stands for Tzakat Legima, meaning that somebody's made you problems with your parnosa. You know, you had a makolet, the guy opens up a makolet next door, and now you have a tzaka legima. You have a, maybe it means a legitimate tzaka, no, tzaka legima means that you have a tzaka HaKadosh Baruch Hu on having your parnosa hurt, and now you don't have what to drink, what to eat. And nonetheless, you weren't sick luck. Madbana, you still are domain and you shut up. So then Sansana, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is Shochein Bisneh, Oselodin, he'll take care of it for you. So we have many Ramazim in the same direction. Omale Resh Galuta Ravuna. So once the Resh Galuta asked Ravuna what the mocker is for the din of not going out anymore with a Kalila. Kalila minolanda asr. And these are all sugis, remember, that we just had recently in Saita, that after the Churban, where they asr, Rashi learns that this is the equivalent of the Atarot Chatanim that we spoke about in Sota. And he wanted to know, how do we know that such a thing is asr? Tosfos understands it to be different, not referring literally to something on the head, but something that is like built over the person to show chashivas for. But in any event, which is to take the partial pshat that it's Atarot Chatanim. So Rav Huna said to the Resh Galuta, listen, the truth is, it's really a drabbah. And you shouldn't be looking for a pasuk. And that was the Mishnah that we had back in Sotah. We just had it. What's the matter with you, Resh Galuta? You're not doing the Daf Yomi recently. That's not. But Pulma Shel Aspas Yonos, that's when they were Gozer Al Atarot Chatanim V'Ala Eros. So that is the Eros. Remember, the Eros was the wedding bells. Anyway, meanwhile, Rav Huna, who had said this answer to Resh Galuta, he had to go out to the bathroom. So Adarachi kom Rav Huna lafnuye. So then Rav Chista is left alone with the Resh Galuta. Rav Chista was a Talmud of Rav Huna and would never have opened up his mouth in front of Rav Huna. But now that he got rid of Rav Huna, went to the bathroom, now he's going to argue. And he's going to tell the Resh Galuta, no, it's a pasuk. There's a pasuk. Amar Hashem Elokim, Hasira Mitznefet, Harima Atara, Zot Lo Zot, Hashefalag Bea, Hagavoa Hashpil. Actually, all of this comes from the pasuk in Yechezkel, all about the Churban. So, how do you explain the connection of a mitznefet to an atara. The word mitznefet is always a reference to the special hat of the Kohen Gadol, right? So what is the mitznefet and what is the atara? V'chimanya mitznefet etzo atara. There's no connection between the two. Elo malacha. Bisman she mitznefet b'rosh Kohen Gadol, then you can have an atara b'rosh kol adam. So a chosen can wear an atara. But the moment of the Churban, nistalka mitznefet b'rosh Kohen Gadol, nistalka atara b'rosh kol adam. That is the mocker for our not having atarot chatanim. Meanwhile, Ravuna comes back from the bathroom and he finds Rav Chista giving over this pasuk, which he had said beferish, no, there is no pasuk, it's only drabonim. So his reaction was, you are so sweet, Rav Chista. He finds them sitting and saying this over. He says, you know, I swear it's a drabonim. But since you're such a sweetheart, Chistach Shmach, they don't call you Chista for nothing. Chistoin Milach, everything that you say is so sweet. I can't possibly disagree with your beautiful pasuk, but you should just know that the real meaning of the pasuk is not what you're saying. Chistoin Milach, it's very lovely what you're saying, but the reality is that the meaning of the pasuk is referring to the atara of the melech, and that what it was saying was that this is a nevius from Yechezkel, that the malchus, meaning of Tzidkiyo, would be also brought into Golas at the same time that the mitznefet was. That was what it was. So that there would be no longer any malchus after the Churban. Ravina once found Mar Baravashi, who was sitting, and he was making a klila levrate. He was making this beautiful crown for the wedding of his daughter. And Ravina said to Mar Baravashi, but Rebbe, don't you hold lo sava lamar hasira mitznefet ve'erima atara? I mean, it says once there was a churban that we don't use the atara. Omar le, yes, but that pasuk is only about men. It's not about women. And there's a reason for that. Dumya de Kohen Gadol, it's only begavre, but when it comes to nashelo, this inyan that women have to be given a very special beauty at their chasana, and that's all part of the etzem, achnasas, kala, and so on, chas v'chalila does not apply to women, and that's why I'm making it for my daughter. And what's, by the way, what's the meaning of the pasuk about? Zot lo zot, what does zot lo zot mean? Darash Rabbi Avira. He couldn't, sometimes he said it over in the name of Ravami, sometimes he said it over in the name of Ravasi, but he said that the meaning of that pasuk is that B'sha'a Shamar Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Hasira Mitznefet Ve'irima Atara. So the Malachi Ashore said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'ina Shalaylam, so this is the way you treat Klal Yisrael, She'igdimu Lefanecha B'Sinai Naas El Nishma, perfect for this week. Klal Yisrael comes to Har Sinai, they say, Nasev and Ishmael, this is their reward. Take off your crowns, throw out the Kohen Gadol. What's wrong with you? same motion we have on Har Sinai with Moshe Rabbeinu and Rabbi Akiva. Amar Lahem, lo zot, you don't think that this they deserve every last bit of it? Shishpilu et ha-gavoa, v'igbilu et ha-shafal, v'emidu tselem be'echal? You don't think that what Menashe did, and the Maisai Ego, and it's all very nice to talk about all the good stuff. And look at the way they take the things that are important. And as the Pasuk says, that which is Gavoa, their Mashpil, that which is ridiculous, that their Magbia. You can't deal with these people. Lo Zot, they don't deserve it. Of course they deserve it. Dorash Rabbi Avira, Zimnim Omer LeMishmed Rabami, Zimnim Omer LeMishmed Ravasi. Once already we're talking about those drushes, we have the same thing where Rav Avira sometimes said a drasha from one, sometimes from the other. What's the meaning of the pasuk Amar Hashem? Im shleimim v'chein rabim v'chein nagozu v'yavar. So whether you are shaleim, meaning you have just enough, or for sure, if you got a lot, if you cut off some of that hair, nagozu, then you could pass. What does that mean? That even if shleimim, adam ro'eshe b'zonotav mitzum tzumim, you're just enough to get by. Yasemiyam tzedaka. Take some of it off. Nogozu. Kol shekein kishein merubim. And for sure, if you have more than enough, so then for sure, you should be giving tzedakah. And why does it mean, when it says nogozu v'yavar, Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmo, what this means is that kolak gozeis v'nechasav. Somebody gozeis, he does shearing as if he would be shearing the wool off of his sheep. V'yosemeyem tzedakah, he will get a pass. Nitzal midin asher geinom. He'll get a pass to be freed from geinom. Why do we use this lashon? Because imagine a situation where you've got two sheep, and they both have to pass through this difficult river. One of them has got a lot of hair, a lot of wool, and the other one has just gone through shearing. So the one that had a lot of wool gets weighed down by the water and can't make it to the other side of the stream. The one that was nagozu, the one that was properly sheared, doesn't have any problem. Goes straight to the water. Same thing is true in this metaphor. She'ina gezuza lo avra. V'initich, what does that mean? Omar Mazurta, this means even though you're an oni, afilo oni amitpanes min tzedakah, as we just said, shleimim. Yaseh tzedakah, you still have to do tzedakah. That even the aniim have to do tzedakah. And then if you do, lo anech od. Tony Rav Yosef, shuv ein marin lo simane aniyut. Somebody who does that is not going to be shown any more signs of aniyut, and he will end up being okay. Now this is very fascinating, because as the Rama writes, a person is not supposed to give tzedakah if he doesn't have enough for himself. So if everybody asks on the Rama, but what do you mean? But it says over here, afilo oni amitparnes min hatzedakah. There's a lot of approaches that give very much halacha. This is not theory. This is straight out halacha. You often find people come to me all the time. How should I take off meiser for this, for that? And these are people that don't have enough for themselves. What do we mean when we say don't have enough for themselves? So this is the difference between a mitparnes min hatzedakah to the idea of the Rama. Some say that this may be the nafkamina. A person who's mitparnes min hatzedakah is someone who doesn't have enough to make it through the year. But he has enough to get by. He gets by hand to mouth, but he can't afford to buy a house. He can't afford, and he doesn't have those things that a person needs in order to be set up in life. So such a person should be yaseh tzedakah. In what sense yaseh? Whatever it means. Once a year. Well, I'd say once a year, but he should give something small to tzedakah. And what the Rama is talking about is that shalchos kedem, in terms of a person who doesn't have enough to get by, over there there's no chiyuv for him to give tzedakah. He's supposed to be taking himself first. But there are other terutzim also about what type of tzedakah we're talking about, whether maybe it means you don't give tzedakah. What he means to say is don't try to give 10% or anything like that, but just do a little bit of giving a penny to tzedakah so that you too should have the zechus of tzedakah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, getting back to the Mishnah. Now we're talking about the gvulot of Eretz Yisrael. And it says, Mirekem, Mizrach, and Miako, Litzafon. This business about Ako, Litzafon doesn't make any sense. Because what it seems to be saying is that the furthest north that you can go in Eretz Yisrael and you don't hit Chutz La'aretz is Akko. But beyond that, you're definitely in Chutz La'aretz. But that's not true. The main of the Akko litzvonad Eretz Yisrael kaima v'raminu. Here we have a brayta, and it says beferish. Not like that. It says, ayama alech mi Akko lichzi. If you're going on the northern road from Akko up to Kiziv, so then you should know that to your right, if you're traveling north, to your right is Chutz La'aretz. And therefore, you will be tamei, if you get off the road to the right, you'll be tamei mishum Eretz Ha'amim, because of the gzeira of Tuma and Eretz Ha'amim. Remember that they bury there without being mitzayin, and they have a lot of nuns there that always have to bury their miscarriages and so on, so they don't put it on Beit HaKvarot. Anyway, so they were gozer Tuma there. And That area, therefore, is not only Tamei Meretz HaAmim, but there's no problem of Meiser, Shvius, unless you know for a fact, Achi Vadalacha, Shechayevet. Unless you, somebody who knows the area tells you, Barnea told me that in this place, the road goes a little bit to the left, and therefore to the right, is still Eretz Yisrael. Now, our understanding of this at this point, as Rashi says, is that we thought that we're talking about the real Gvulot, and that therefore this only makes sense if we're talking about a city called Akko and a city called Kiziv on the eastern border of Eretz Yisrael. Because it's saying to your right, which is eastward, then you're going to be Chutzlaretz. I mean, if it's the Akko and Kiziv that we know, which is on the western border along the sea, then this makes no sense, because to your right, you would be going into Eretz Yisrael. So what would that mean? That's what we think now. And that therefore, mismolo l'marav haderech, but to your left, which is west of the road, so then that's Eretz Yisrael. And your Torah mishum Eretz HaAmim, and you would be chayev b'maaser b'shvi'i, unless somebody tells you, no, you should know that at this point, actually, the road has gone too much to the east, and you're looking at Chutz La'aretz even to your left. So if Barnea tells you that, so then fine. And Ad Heichan, how far north would this be true? All the way up to Kiziv. So now, that means that Akko is obviously not the northern Gvul. It says we can go up to Kiziv. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Mishum Aviv. No, it's not up to Kiziv. It's all the way up to Lav Lavo. But in any event, what's important to us is that Akko is obviously not the northernmost point on the border. And according to Rav Yehuda, he said Akko, any place Akko north, is considered to be outside of Eretz Yisrael. Omer Abaye, no. First of all, we're not talking about the eastern boundary. We're talking about the Akko and Kiziv that we know. But the point is that there is a small piece of land, I don't know, maybe it's 20 feet wide, you know, that goes from Akko to Kiziv, that allows you to walk from Akko to Kiziv and not be in Tumah Veretz HaAmim. So what it's talking about is to the left and the right of that little piece of land that is sticking out. But Rabbi Yehuda, he was talking about making like a box around Eretz Yisrael. There is a piece that sticks out of the box, but basically to draw the northern boundary is Akko. What? So what, the Tana would be telling you, like the dinim of a little 10-foot wide thing and what it is to the left and what it is to the right? Is that makes sense to you? Of course. The Pasuk does that, I understand. If a Pasuk does it, the Tana can't do it. Remember when they were talking about how do we find girls for the men from Shevet Binyamin? So they said, you know, there's going to be the big holiday in Shiloh. The girls are going to come out to dance. And then you got Gilbert and Sullivan coming out, you know, and the pirates come out, grab the girls, and they take them to Binyamin. So the Binyamin are going to dress up as pirates. But there they have to give them all of the instructions. How to get there. So, Vayomru hinei chaga shem b'shiloh miyamim yamima. There's been this constant, every year we've got this dancing holiday in Shiloh. And, you know, Shiloh, which is north of Beit El, Mizrach HaShemesh l'misila, when it's not, it's obviously not Mizrach Shemesh. So the Mizrach Shemesh, as we're going to see, is referring to east of the highway. So Mizrach HaShemesh l'misila, I mean, it's like a path that goes from Beit El to Shechem, and it's south of Livona. And as Rav Pop explained, when it says Mizrach HaShemesh, it means to the road. It doesn't mean in Eretz Yisrael. So that means that the Pasuk is telling you exactly where along a small road you have to look in order to get somewhere. So why, I understand, why wouldn't the Tana do the same thing? We use a very small, I mean, how wide is the road? I don't know, maybe the road is even not as wide as the Ritzua between Akko and what we said was Kiziv. So, I don't see that that's a problem. That's the Pashas of Gemara. A lot of Rishonim argue on this approach is Rashi's approach. Is it choshev enough to give a siman on? We'll use the Rashi. Tanachod. Hamevi get besvina. So now we have another issue. We said that if you're mevi get from Medinas Hayam, so you have to say b'fanai nichta, b'fanai nichta. How about if a get was written on a boat? So now, what exactly is the din bringing the get from the boat to Eretz Yisrael? Is that considered, it's the Yam, you know? So is this Medinat Hayam? Or do we say something that is like in the middle of Eretz Yisrael, it's on the Yam HaKineret, you know? So if it's on the Yam HaKineret, we're going to give it a din of Chutz La'aretz because it's on the Yam? What's the din? So it's actually a contradiction. So one price says, I maybe get besvina, is the same as bringing it in any other place in Eretz Yisrael. You don't have to say, but there's a braita that says exactly the opposite. A maybe get besvina is kemevi b'chutz la'aretz. So what's the pshat? So we're assuming now that we're talking about a boat that's in the Yam HaKineret, right? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiya, what's the problem? We know that there's a machlokas about how we constitute the definitions of Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. Binogea, a boat. Because, after all, we have the Mishnah in Chala that talks about the dinim of the Chiev and Meiser and Truma. If you bring, let's say, offer, and you're importing dirt or topsoil from Chutz La'aretz, and it's in a boat, and it was planted while the boat is in the water. So the din over there is that chayev b'maaser b'shviyit. So anything that grows on that boat is considered to be growing in Eretz Yisrael. But Rabbi Yehuda said, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, ematai, this is not true as a general rule. It's only b'zman shasfina gosheshet. That's only when the boat has been pulled up so that it's actually the bottom of the boat is on the land. Abo ena sfina gosheshet, if it's in the middle of the water, then it's growing in this Chutz La'aretz topsoil, and it's not considered to be part of Eretz Yisrael because it's in the middle of the water. So therefore, what we could say is that the braisa that says that the get has a din of being in Eretz Yisrael, that's going, I'll leave it at Tana Kama. The Tana Kama says if you're on a water in Eretz Yisrael, you're basically in Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis the dinim of Maestras and Shvias and so on and so forth. Mashenke and the other braisa that says it's kemedina sayam is going on libra Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda says, if you're in the middle of the water, it's like you're in Chutz La'aretz. Abaye says, I understand, why do we have to say that there's a machlokas? Why can't we say that both are on libra Rabbi Yehuda, and they're talking about different situations? Vilokasha. Kan bizman she'ena svina gosheshet, and kan bizman she'asvina ken gosheshet. Now, there's a hidden issue over here, which is that the language of Rabbi Yehuda is Eimatai Bizman Shasvina Gosheshet. And the problem is, you may remember that the Gemara says that Kol Makom, that it says Eimatai, it means that Rabbi Yehuda is coming to be Mefarish. He's not arguing. So he's saying, when did the Chachomim say this halacha Eimatai Bizman Shasvina Gosheshet? So therefore, it's not so pashut to make this a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, if he's coming only to be mefarish. That's what he said over here. So therefore, we could easily have said that there's no machlokes, and that what we're talking about over here is two separate situations. One where the Sfina has been pulled up, and one where the Sfina is in the middle of the water. Now, there's another issue, because Amar Rabbi Zera, Atzitz Nakuf, Amunach HaGabi Yetito, let's imagine that we have a flower pot, and it's got a hole in the bottom. And remember, the din is that when the flower pot has a hole, so then the nourishment is considered to be coming through the bottom of the pot, that is considered to be b'chur l'karka. But over here, you put that flower pot on top of a tripod. So now it's sitting on top of pieces of wood that are holding it up above the land. What's the din of things that grow in that flower pot? Well, Rabbi Zera says, I believe there's a machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, about the idea of the boat, and this is dependent on that machlokas, right? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, He holds that if you're in a river, so then you don't have a chiyuv of trumas and meisers and shemitah and so on. Why? Apparently because you're not touching the ground. So according to him over here also, if you have a flower pot, it's on a tripod, it's not touching the ground. And therefore, he would hold that it's potter from meiser. Mashenkin, the Rabbanan who hold, even if you're in the middle of the water, it's as if you're touching the ground. So then they would probably hold the same thing over here. That even though the tripod holds the plant above the ground, but that doesn't matter. We consider it to be directly connected. No, says the Gemara. It's not, I mean, the situation is not really the same at all, is it? The Maloni, says Rav. I mean, I come look on Rabbi Yehuda, some Elabisvina. We're talking about over there, Rabbi Yehuda says, a boat. A boat is not something that has any kviyut. I mean, the whole idea of a boat is that it's asuya livroach. It's always moving about, you know? So over there, for Rabbi Yehuda to say, it's not really considered to be part of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, but maybe in Atzitz, flower pots, they don't move from place to place. So maybe he would agree that it's considered to have a place, so to speak, within Eretz Yisrael, and therefore becomes chayev in trumas and meisers. Or I could tell you the opposite. I could say, maybe, inami ad kan lo kam rabbanan asam ela bisvina, velo mafsik avira. It could be that the rabbanan are talking dafka about a situation where the boat is on water, that it's considered to be attached to the ground, because they view the water to be itself an extension of the earth. So the ara is the smichta damaya, akara smichta damya, the water itself is similar to like a thicker topsoil, so to speak. So the land underneath is in contact with the boat, according to Rabbanan. But maybe air is not considered to be in contact. Avalat seats, the mavsik avira, maybe not. And therefore, lav dafka, is there any connection between the two halakhas at all? Tomorrow we're going to see that there's a whole different possibility. We're not talking about the Yam HaKinneret. We're talking about the Mediterranean. And it's not surrounded by the Gvulas of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, all of that gets us into the issues of how much is the extension of Eretz Yisrael into the Mediterranean as well. All to be discussed with Rav Barnea's maps, undoubtedly, and all types of exciting new issues, which is why you'll note that Rav Barnea today is fluid. It's all about boats on the Yam HaKinneret, boats at the bottom of Turi Amnon, boats on the Mediterranean, boats around Turkey. Rav Barnea is planning a tremendous fluid opportunity tomorrow to take us on a tour of Barnea's neighborhood, mostly in Turkey, I'm told, or Beirut, perhaps. All to be discussed tomorrow. Tripoli, who knows? Get yourselves ready for traveling above the 36th degree. See you all, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow. Thank you so much. B'surot tovot, and start getting ready during the Shloshet Yimei Hagbalah for the wonders of Chag HaShavuot. Go to everyone.